morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today? One person yelled and I appreciate you. Thank you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We'd love to see you up here at the altar. And while you come, come on and clap. Y'all can do better than that. Come on.
Family, how are y'all doing this morning? Good, good. I think they need to wake up, Zay. I think they need to wake up this morning. If you're a guest this morning in the house, we want to welcome you. We do have a connect room for you after service on my left-hand side, your right-hand side, in one of our classrooms. We got food, snacks. We just want to welcome you. Tell us a little bit or tell you a little bit about what we are about here in this house. In that same room, we also have connect classes. It is a four-week program where you'll learn more about God, more about yourself, more about this house, what we believe. And if you are in the ages of 18 to 30, we have Awaken Young Adults next Sunday at 6 p.m. right here. We're going to fellowship. There's food. And I heard they're giving away a few dinners. So if you want to cop a little dinner, maybe you have a wife, you want to take her on a nice date, they will be having that giveaway. So we hope to see you there. Now let's go. I want to pray a little bit. Praise God. Father, I love you. We love you here in this house. Jesus, we just lift you up this morning. Father, let everything we do in this moment of worship and praise bring you glory, God. Yes, Jesus. Father, there's nobody like you, none besides you. Father, we pray in this moment, Jesus, we'll see the chains fall off, Father. Lord, as we look into your fiery eyes, there'll be an igniting of a spark inside of our heart, Lord Jesus, that will send us to see your glory in each and every aspect of our life. Father, we lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Higher, 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 higher.
shout it out. Higher, higher. Lift Jesus higher. Say higher, higher. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. have something to thank him for. Lift your hands and sing this out. Say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, because I'm alive.
Thank you, Jesus.
You've kept me in the palm of your hand, so I'll sing.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Because you're worthy of it all. I'll say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, Abba,
I've gotta be where you are. just to see you, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. Closer to you, Jesus. Jesus. Peace is where you are. Breakthrough.
Honestly, you can have everything in your pocket, but if you don't got the presence of God, then you're very poor. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, he said to the church of Laodicea, he said, you don't even get it. You're naked, you're blind, you're poor. But yet, they were one of the richest cities of that time. They had the wealth. They had the garments. They had everything they needed. But what they were missing was Jesus was now not in their lives, but outside their lives, knocking to come back in. And you know, today you can have, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And I don't know about you, I learned a long time ago, there's nobody, there's nothing worth selling my eternity for. Nobody. Not one thing worth selling my eternity for. You can have your pockets bulging with cash, but when it's gone, it's gone. You can have a relationship, but when it's gone, it's gone. You can have everything, you can be balling, baby, but when it's gone, it's gone. The only thing that's steady is Jesus.
Amen.
Today, Bible says, I counsel you to buy from me gold. It's not talking about money gold. It's talking about asking Jesus to make sure that he's the Lord of your life, to be settled in who you are in Christ. Because when you realize what this song is not just a song. To be where he is fullness of joy. Everything can be tumbling around you, and you can still be steady. Because with Jesus on your side, baby, you can't lose. Amen? I said amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I want to welcome all the guests this morning, and I do want to make sure that everybody understands that we worship a little bit different from other churches. We try to do it the Bible way. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, you see somebody with their hand lifted up, it's not that they're checking their deodorant. It's not that they want you to check their deodorant. What it is with someone's hands lifted, the Bible says, lift up your hands without wrath or malice. What it means is that what you're saying on the inside is showing on the outside. So if I came up with a gun, stuck it in your chest, said, stick them up, give me all your money, you're going to go, whoop, and you surrender. So when you see people raising their hand at church, all it means is they're showing the exterior, I'm surrendering. And then, why are people around the front? Well, I mean, you used to go get drunk and you'd go to those bands and you'd act the fool, put a shade on your head. But when we get to church, we want everybody to be quiet. I'm sorry. When I see Jesus face to face, I'm not going to be quiet. I mean, the one who washed my sins away, the one who made me brand new, I got something to shout about. Can I hear an amen? I got a reason to shout. I was once in darkness, but God brought me out. And I'm here to testify. I got a reason to shout. So today, You're in the right place. Turn to somebody, you're in the right place. Why? Because you're where the presence of God is. You're a brilliant individual. Amen? We have a great testimony for you. Young lady, are you still nervous?
Yes.
She was very nervous the first service. She peed right here on the floor.
Good morning, everyone. For those that don't know me, my name is Missy. I've been coming here probably 10 years. Probably the last 5 years has been consecutively. And I have a huge testimony. Miss Carla told me 2 minutes, and I really would like to talk all day, but all right. So I would sit in the back when I first started, way in the back, and all the pastors would stand up and preach about tithing, and I would roll my eyes thinking, oh, here we go again. That's all we're going to hear. And then I decided finally to open up my Bible. Lo and behold, all through the Bible, it talks about tithing. And so I thought, well, I'm going to give this a try. So about the first year I was tithing, it wasn't with a good heart. I was reluctant giving money. But after that, I thought, this is kind of fun. I'm going to keep doing it. So my heart changed, and I was bringing money for as happy as I could be. I not only would tithe 10%, but when I did my side jobs, I would tithe that also, if not all of it. So in December, where I work, we all got an email stating that we were going to be getting a raise, and our letter would be coming the first week in January. So it so has that when I got my letter, my daughter and my son-in-law were visiting me, and I was walking through the door, opening up the letter, and I stood there in shock, and my son-in-law said, are you okay? And I said, no, why? Do I look like I'm going to pass out? He said, yeah, you kind of do. And I said, I just got my letter with my raise. Look at this. Never in a million years did I ever think I would get a raise like that. I have been working at my job for a very long time, and I also came in with experience. So I knew I was at the top of my pay raise at that time. Never thought I would get the raise I did. But I did. It was a significant amount, and I'm telling you, bring your tithe to the front. Jesus will work with you. He'll give you back what you give. I can stand up here and preach about that all day, and I want to thank the pastors for preaching to me about that. Thank you.
Boy, it sure has gotten me in a lot of trouble. But it works. Amen? The word works. Turn to someone and say, the word works.
Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it says, charge them. That means challenge them. That means call them to action. Charge them, believers, who are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded or proud, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. All things to enjoy. That means your healing, all things to enjoy. That means that promotion at work, all things to enjoy. That means restoration of marriages, all things to enjoy. That means freedom from addictions, all things to enjoy. But in the put your hope and your trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Listen, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. What you lay up for yourselves right now is laying up a foundation against the things to come. It is preparation. It's like the sowing that the birds or the squirrels do in the fall so that they're prepared for the winter season, that they may lay hold on eternity. eternal life. And then if we look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says, but you shall remember. Now remember, we're charged, we're called to action, we're challenged, but also we shall remember. Shall isn't might, it is a command. You will remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, as it is this day. But look, that this is actually conditional, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth in order that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers. So we need to make sure that we honor the challenge, the call that God has given us to bring our tithe to the Lord. He gives us 90%. We can bring 10% of the wealth that he has given us the ability to obtain. And when we do that, his covenant is established in our life. Amen. We're going to make our supernatural proclamation. So if you can stand and repeat after me. If I obey, then the blessings. Wow, I need Pastor Cody, right? The blessings.
I got it. You're off.
Oh, I am. See? Ready? This is why
She's
Pastor Cody never
She's only been coming here 23 years.
24 now. 24. We're old.
Wow,
we're on year 24.
Shout it out loud. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Shout, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. If you're watching online, this is your moment right there. God has an opportunity for you online. You can either text to give, you can get online and give any way you desire. We love you. Have an awesome day.
Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all the world to see you, Lord. We lift you up. We lift you up for all eternity, Lord. We lift you up. We lift you up.
Hallelujah. God is good, amen? I was blessed today, Sean Snowman. Are you excited about what Sean Snowman did? Is that what you were doing? I got me a new hat, new Road King hat. I like that. That feels warm, too. So I want to give a shout out to Sean, say thank you, and what a blessing. Amen. Well, today is an awesome day. We get to hear the Word of God. How many of you know the Word is alive and real and quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? Amen. I love you, man.
I love you.
Stop. This is the year we are. That was so sad. Here we go. I said, this is the year we are. Built different. You are different. Turn to someone and say, you are really are. You are different. Yeah. We are different people because we are the people of God, and we're built different, which means we're not the same. But what's amazing to me is that you can have two houses. They can look the same, but be built differently. What I mean by that is everything is dependent upon the contractor that you hire. So you can have one house that looks magnificent, the other house looks magnificent, but the one on the one side literally was built with substandard material and soon will not last long. You see, everything that we are as being built different, we've got to get back to what makes us strong. When you are not strong, it means you are weak. And when you are weak, it means when the winds blow and the storms come, you are going to collapse. And I want you to know something. This is not something you want to prepare for when the storms come. You want to have this done beforehand. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So everything is directly impacted on the contractor that you allow in your life. Now, Terry Keegan is a contractor. And what's that? Now, Terry Keegan is beyond good. He's an irritation. So what I mean by an irritation is he is one of those immaculate conception people. Like, it's got to be absolutely immaculate. It has to be absolutely perfect. So he's not really fast. But when he's done, you can guarantee that is not going to be lasting for an hour, a week, or 10 years. That's going to be a lifetime thing. You see, the contractor you have in your life is everything. Yeah, come on now. My cowboy boots brought that song out. Glory to God. Did you see I grew a beard just for that? That was me singing. Could you tell? Yeah. The verse for the year we're using is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, and it says this. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens or sojourners, but you are fellow citizens and saints and members of God's house. You see, today we've got to recognize that we are not normal. We are different. And if we're not different, then why would anybody want the God that we serve? But we have been built differently. But how we are built is not determined by God. It is determined by whom we allow to run our lives. It's determined by the contractor that we allow in to build you and I, who are the structure of God. Psalms 127, verse 1 is our verse for the year. Why does everybody turn there? If you don't have a physical Bible, if you make the sound, it makes me feel better. Turn to 127, Psalms 127, verse 1. Go ahead, turn the page. Make it sound good. Very good. You can mouth it too. That works. That works. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. This all comes down to a reality that the house, and I want to remind who is the house. The Bible says that when you become born again, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which literally means that you house God. He said, I do not dwell in edifice built with man's hands, but I dwell within mankind. That was the power of the new covenant, the power of salvation, that Christ now dwells inside of us. This building is not the church. You're the church. You're the body of Christ. This is the building that we worship in. But if this building burned down tomorrow, the church didn't burn down because you're the church. So we as the body of Christ need to lay hold of and ask ourselves a basic question. Who is the contractor that is doing the work in our house? You see, when you understand this, it changes everything. Because one of the most important components is that contractor. That person according to their skill, that person according to their meticulous mindset, that person is either going to build a quality thing or something that's going to fall apart. I want to remind you, here's the truth, is that I, over 33 years of ministry, have watched, listen, I'm going to say the word because it's true. I've seen thousands of people come to the altar, thousands of people that have accepted Jesus as their Savior, thousands of people that truly had a God experience, a God transition, yet thousands of people have also walked away. And it's not they didn't start, But I want you to know something. They did not allow the master builder to come in and be the one who truly was designing them. Because if God builds you, your house will not be in vain. It will not fall down. It will not shudder. It will not shake. No matter what the weather is, no matter how intense it is, if it's a hurricane, if it's a blizzard, I don't care. One thing I know, that if God has built the house, the labor is not in vain. But you and I make the determination who the contractor is. You see, when we understand this, then we've got to make clear decisions. You see, you'll either find somebody, a contractor, that when they start putting down your baseboard, they'll have great gaps in the corner. Now, you see, this is why I'm not a contractor. My dad was a contractor, worked with him all the years, but I could never figure out angles. Like I said last week, I struggled with even the measuring tape. But I remember I was one day, we were trying to save some money over in Big Flats. We lived there 18 years behind the fire department. That was a very loud experience. And I decided we were going to put down a hardwood floor. So we put down the hardwood floor. I should say, truthfully, I put down half the hardwood floor, came back like I left it for like 3 weeks. Rhonda got so irritated, she went, one day we came home, and she had laid another quarter down. She just went and did it. But then what happened was, it was my turn to put down the baseboard. Well, I'm not good with angles. So my baseboard angles were, you know, a little like this. There was a gap in between. So I want you to know the most important tool that you can have when you're a bad contractor is called caulk. I took that caulking gun and I'd hit that corner and I'd mold it around and then I painted it. And you know what? It looks good. It did. It looked good. But the fact was, it was still a bad corner. We have the house we moved into was very interesting. The previous owner did a lot of the building himself, and we found out that he was a jack of all trades and a master of none. It looked really good. I'm talking like they put in a master bathroom downstairs, and so you go down. I remember seeing it for the first time. I'm like, wow, that is beautiful. Had one of those deep tubs, that's a soaking tub, you know, with the claw feet in it, and it had the two pedestals on either side, its own lights, and the floor was beautiful, and, you know, it's just a gorgeous little room. And then we bought the house, and then we realized that there are a lot of things that look good but are very poorly designed and very poorly done by the contractor. I'll give you one. We started leaking in the basement. So we called a contractor, and they came, and we had a jet tub upstairs. And so they took the jet tub up and called me. Pastor, we need to talk to you. I said, sure. Went over there, sat down with him, and they said, I don't know, but look at this. For the guy to put in the jet tub, he had to cut one of the main stringers of the floor. So the floor wasn't steady anymore. And then the pipe went from the jet tub down about 2 feet and stopped. It was cut. And then there was another one about a foot and a half lower, cut. So all the water was free flowing. Hopefully it was going to hit the next portion. Then the jet tub, which is electric, right? He wrapped all the electrical wires around. The contractor said, you know, you're lucky you're alive. And I said, yes, I'm lucky I'm alive. Well, what was going on? The contractor was cutting corners. And the contractor had to be the homeowner. Well, anyways, here we go. One day the shower's not draining well. So I decide, I'm going to go check this out. You know, my skill set. But you know, I think I had better skill. Let's just move on. So I go behind the shower, and I touch the pipe, and it goes clunk. He never glued any of the pipes. When you looked at that bathroom, when you looked at all the facilities, they looked awesome from the outside, but because the contractor was always cutting corners and using substandard material, it looked good but would not last. And there are a lot of believers. You'll look good, but you're not going to last because you've grabbed a hold of the wrong builder. You cannot build the house of the Lord with your own hands. Come on now, can I hear an amen? You and I, God is called to be the ones that we submit to him. Now listen, now we'll go back to the verse, Psalms 127. It says this, unless the Lord builds a house, which says what? You have a choice. You know what's amazing is when you're looking for a contractor, you look around, you ask around, and you get people that have had them and say, were they a good contractor? Are they going to rip me off? Did they do a good job? Was it clean? Was it, you know, how did they do? You're asking because you want to know whether they are the ones you want to actually work on your house or not. And what happens is this spiritually. There are a lot of folks, they want God to get them out of hell, but they don't want God to meddle in the house. Say amen. They want God to be the contractor for their eternity, that when they call upon the name of the Lord, they're saved, but they don't want God enough to be a contractor that they'll let them in the house to deal with your plumbing. Come on now, to get into your attic, to get into that closet behind that room that you put junk in that you're hiding from everybody. Come on now, say amen. There comes a time that you and I have to recognize we are the ones that choose who's going to be the master builder in our house. Now, the importance of this is that when the storms come, when it gets difficult in life, when trials and tribulations are overwhelming and overcoming, when all of a sudden the waves and the winds become so intense that somebody else's house is falling down, I want you to recognize your house can be built upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and no matter what the storm is, no matter how raging it is, no matter how intense it is, there is a surety that you can have because you got the foundation. Who's the foundation? There is no other foundation that is laid than that which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Jesus is the number one priority in your life. When you got that foundation right, then you can actually start building the house. Then you make it pretty. See, you can make it pretty, but if it ain't structurally sound, when things come, you're going down. I've seen it so many times. This is the sad part about pastoring. Everyone thinks pastoring's preaching the gospel, just standing up here and preaching. It's the smallest part of the gospel. That's the smallest part of my job. If you only understood how, listen now, I sit back and I watch. Do you think we sit up here just because we want to be cute? I mean, I am cute. And I have a beautiful wife, Rhonda. But the fact is that we're not sitting here because we're cute. We're sitting up here because we want to see. It's amazing to me how you can see bad structure over time. You see, when you don't take care of a house, it starts to slowly break down. I live in a community, and not really a community. I live on Wynkoop Creek Road. That's all I got to say about that. You go up the road a little bit, and there's a house that you smell before you get to it. No joke. You can smell it about a quarter mile away, especially if you're on the Holly. So here you are, man, that's a bad. And then there's another house, and I don't know how in the world there's not a condemned sign on it. It's this big house, and let me tell you, it's literally falling apart. I'm talking like falling apart. And I sit back and I say, how sad. What did that house look like when it was first built? You can imagine somebody had pride in that house. They said, yeah, that's my house over there. There's nobody going to go, oh, yeah, that's my house over there. You're going to say, no, I live in the shed behind the house. Why? Because if you don't take care of the house, you don't have the right contractor in the house, you don't use the right material in the house, it's not just how you start, it's how you finish. Can I hear an amen? But man, I want you to know that when the wind blows, you can't afford to have a house that's slowly breaking down. You got to work and get the contractor to work on you, not when it's broken, but even before to make sure you're shored up. That's sad to me. I watch it in the church. You can tell people that are slowly, the house is breaking down. I'll tell you how. So maybe if it's you, you'll just move so that I don't catch it. You usually see people that are fired up about Jesus, man. The house is being built right. The contract is in the house. The master builder, the Lord Jesus Christ, is their number one priority. They're usually closer to the front. And then as the house starts to break down, the roof starts to have a sag. Come on now. The plumbing starts to leak. You watch people slowly go backwards. You think that just where you sit is just where you sit? No. There's a process. You watch someone. Now, if somebody sat there their whole life, that's one thing. But if you watch someone that's here and now is slowly going backwards, you know they're on their way out the door. It's a very sad thing as a pastor you watch because, listen, I'm not here for entertainment. If I'm here for entertainment, do you think I'm going to be in the north? What's wrong with you? Let's be real. If this is about church, do you actually think I'd be here? I've been offered churches of thousands of people. I've been offered hundreds of thousands of dollars to go start churches down south where it's warm. But God called us here. So we're here because there's a design in our heart given by God as a call, for God gave gifts to men, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, to be brought into unity, to be brought into maturity, so that you don't have to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, so that your house can remain no matter what the storm says. But you see, as the pastor, there is a fatherly spirit within you because you want to see people grow and mature. You don't want to see them walk away from God, because this is not about joining a church. This is about eternity. And man, let's be real, nobody knows how close eternity is. No. I'm telling you. Nobody knows how close eternity is. Well, I'm young. You don't know how close eternity is. You think you got all your life in your pocket, baby, but you can't trust yourself. You know you can't trust yourself as a contractor. How do I know that? Well, it's a great story. Your pastor's looking pretty good, huh? He's looking thin. I haven't been this thin in 20 years. I can even button my jacket. Now that's the will of God right there. And have a little extra. Jesus. Oh, my God. But at one time, I was 224 pounds. Now, for me, that's 2.5 chins. That's when you no longer fit in your suits. And I remember one day I heard an evangelist give an example that I just thought was awesome, and I've shared it here before, but it's good. And I remember because I'd heard it, I played it out in my head. So I went to the bathroom one day after getting out of the shower, and how many of you know mirrors don't lie? Unless you buy the right ones, and I didn't. So at 224 pounds, I looked in the mirror, and the belly's protruding past the mirror length on the side. And I said to myself, we have an issue. And I said, man. And I heard my brain say, and this was part of the example, but I kind of lived it out, but not to the extent. Here we go. I looked in and I said, man, Spencer, you're fat. Now, I know that some people get angry, and I've heard, actually, I usually get comments when I do this. It's called body shaming. Listen, if you're ashamed of your body, that's you. But I can be ashamed of my body if I want to. Say amen. So here I am, man, I'm big, and the example goes where in the morning you get up and you look in the mirror and your brain says to you, hey, you fat thing, you need a diet. And you make a declaration, oh yeah, baby, I'm going to go on a diet. Oh yeah, man, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I am not going to eat any sweets. You just opened up hell. So you eat, you know, a good breakfast, and you have a salad for lunch and a salad for supper, and then there's a party at the office that night. So you go to the party at the office, and a lady that you know in the office, she comes in, she says, hey, I want you to know I made you a plate of chocolate chip cookies, and I just took them out of the oven. They are hot, but I made them for you. And your brain says, one won't kill you. So you pick up that cookie, and it's literally breaking apart because it's so warm. You take that bite, and your salivatory glands go, God is living. You slowly chew that cookie, and then you swallow it, and the moment it hits your stomach, your brain says, you fat thing, I told you you couldn't do it. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust your mind. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who could know it but God? You see, as a contractor of the house of the Lord, you and I are crazy if we actually believe that we should be the general contractor over our own lives. But the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Word of God makes a declaration that is so clear that he says, listen, lay yourself on the altar of God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. When we surrender to the Lord, we're actually saying, I'm choosing you to be the contractor in my life. I'm choosing you because you are the best. There is nobody that is better than God for changing a life. Yes. Say amen. Amen. Every building takes time. It's not instantaneous. You ever see those row houses go up? Vroom, 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 vroom. Has anybody ever bought one of those before? Some folks from the church have, and they've called me to complain. They've complained and said, you've got to be kidding me. This is done wrong. This is done wrong. I've called the builder, and they just never call me back. Because that builder wasn't interested in quality. That builder was interested in making sure they'd have money in their pocket. So the contractor that you hire in your life for your spiritual life is either going to make you strong or make you weak. Is either going to build for longevity or it's going to be a short shooting star. One time I was in Rochester with Pastor Mary Edlin, and I was in her office after service, and a prophet came up to me, and he looked at me. I was young. I was very young, 1993. I was probably like six. And, what's wrong with you people? You need a better attitude. So he came up to me and he looked at me and he goes, young man, the Lord says that your mindset of success and God's is different. And God wants to change how you think. Okay. He said, yours is a shooting star where all of a sudden it's bright, shooting across the sky, and everyone notices who's looking because it is such a unique thing. But what does it do? It fizzles out and dies. He said, God has not called you to be a shooting star. God has called you to be a son that is steady, a son that is consistent, a son that can be relied upon, that every day is going to get back up. Can I hear an amen? I want you to know that God is not building you, that the master builder doesn't want to come in your life so that you can be a shooting star, but he wants you to be steady. He wants you to be steadfast. He wants you to be a testimony. He wants you to be powerful, and he wants you to be a house that no matter what happens, you are going to keep standing. But that doesn't come on accident. That is truly hiring the contractor correctly. You know, that wrong contractor is dangerous. And I just want you to know that many people are their own contractor when it gets to spiritual. They want Jesus to save them from hell. Can I hear an amen? I don't really know anybody who believes in the lake of fire. Remember, hell is the holding tank. The holding tank will regurgitate itself in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And the Bible says that at that judgment, the white throne judgment, that hell will give up its dead for judgment. And at that judgment, what will happen is people's names will not be written in the Lamb's book of life, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire that was made for the devil and his angels, not for mankind. But because they chose to be their own contractor, they chose to be their own savior, they no longer have the ability. Their house will not last. Oh, it will be for eternity, but it will be broken down for all of eternity, separated from Jesus Christ. You see, there is no other name under heaven whereby you shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But there are many who've decided to be their own contractor. What do I mean by that? They accept Jesus as their Savior, but they don't want to let him in the house. They don't want to let him in the house. They're okay with Jesus standing outside, like the book of Revelation says. The book of Revelation talks about the church of Laodicea. He says, listen now, you are wealthy, you are clothed right, and you are dressed with fine linen. He said, but I have somewhat against you. You are neither hot nor cold, so therefore I'm going to projectile vomit you, is the Greek word, projectile vomit you out of my mouth. Well, why does he say that? He said, because you think you got everything in your pocket and you don't have everything in your pocket, because without me being the Lord of your life, without me being the general contractor, without me being the one, come on now, the one who is the contractor for your house can look all pretty, but it's not going to stand when it gets tough. And I'm telling you right now, life can get tough. I said life can get tough. And so many people, their house crashes when life gets tough. Where is this? Where's God? I don't understand. And they walk away from the Lord. And I'm telling you, there is nothing worth walking away from God for. But that there doesn't happen just because you say it. That happens because you've allowed the contractor to not only build your foundation, for there is no other foundation that is laid than that which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. That Jesus is the foundation of your life, and then you're allowing him to build you. Go on now. Let's talk about renovations. Some of you don't want God to renovate your house because you like being your own contractor. You know what's amazing? It's called acclimation. Has anybody ever heard of acclimation? Acclimation is very interesting. It's actually science. And acclimation is, and there's a place in Big Hills, California. San Francisco, thank you. I know, I struggle with that name. So there's a restaurant in San Francisco called The Stinking Rose. Have you ever heard of it? The Stinking Rose is a very interesting restaurant because everything is garlic. Every food is saturated with garlic. Even their desserts are saturated with garlic. Their ice cream is garlic ice cream. They actually say that about a block and a half before you get there, you can smell the stinking rose. But when you go, because of acclimation, and you sit down at a table, and you're sitting there for 10 or 15 minutes, you can no longer smell the garlic. You can actually smell the perfume or other aromas that are in the area. Why? Because there's an acclimation process that happens in your brain, and what should not seem normal now becomes normal. And when we become our own contractor, we start putting the plumbing together wrong, thinking we got it right, when really it's not going to be right at all. And if you're going to have a problem, you're going to have a sewer backup. That's all I know. Who's the contractor in your life? Have you submitted to Jesus Christ? So many are building with religion. Listen, this church ain't going to save you. Well, I heard that in the back. He said, say that again. Someone go punch him in the face. I don't know who it is. I didn't know who it was. Just heard a voice. It's called the fivefold ministry gifts. And the laying hands on. Thank you. This church ain't going to save you. You can come to this church and still go to hell. I could be the pastor and still go to hell. Fact. I know a lot of pastors ain't going to heaven. The location don't save you. It's who's inside you. And if Jesus is the Lord of your life, come on now. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds it, who's the Lord? He is the owner. He is the one that is the master craftsman. We have been created. We are his workmanship, the scripture says. So when we are born again, when we are washed by the blood of Jesus, when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's not the end. That's the beginning. That's just the foundation. You want your house not to be built by man. And if it's been built by man, let's be real, most of us have built our own houses. That Jesus wants to come in and start renovating. You know, one thing I found is that whoever you hire as a contractor, there's a relationship of trust. Now, my dad, who was a contractor for over 40 years in Massachusetts, they would literally walk up and hand him the keys to their home and say, you can go in anytime you want, Butch. And go do whatever you need to do, Butch. We don't have to be there, Butch. We trust you. There's a relationship between the contractor and the client. And that is so important. Many people don't want God in their life, listen, beyond going to heaven, because they don't trust that he's going to build them right. You got to know that God wants to build you right. He never has used substandard material. He has never broken. Don't touch that room, Jesus. I built that myself. Yeah, but you built it with 1x1s instead of 2x4s. The foundation needs to be pointed up. Listen, your roof line is sagging. You see, it's more than just saying, Jesus, come into my life. It's literally allowing him and saying to him, I give you the right to be the contractor in my life. Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do inside of me, I'm going to let you do. Whatever room you want to start taking apart, I'm going to let you take up. Don't touch that, Jesus. I'm telling you right now, I buried that when I was 7 years old. I put that up in that closet, and I locked that closet, and no one's been allowed to go in that closet. But Jesus said, I want to get into that closet because I want to clean it out and I want to make you a brand new, I want to make you a cedar closet. Now my wife one day looked at me and she said, I need a cedar closet. And I said, okay. You know, and her brother's a contractor. Pastor Chad Mays did contracting for many years. And because that's her brother, I was really smart and I said, I can get him for free. And so I had Chad come And she said, I want to see the closet down here. And we went on vacation somewhere. I don't remember where we were on vacation. And we get a call. And the call was from Chad. And Chad says, listen, I know that I quoted you, like a $1,500 or $1,200 in parts, in material. But I want you to know I want to do it right. Well, that's bad news. He said, I want to do it right. I said, what does that mean? Now, I put my wife on speakerphone. Another poor mistake in my life. And he said, it's going to be like $4,500. And before I could go, try and get the hairball out, she said, do it. We've got a $4,500 cedar closet. No. It's the best closet you can get. But when you got a really good contractor, they make sure they put in the best and they do not cut corners. And when you're done, you don't have to say, wow, that looks horrible. But you're going to say, wow, I never thought it would ever be that good. And when you allow Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when you allow the great builder, the master builder, when you allow the contractor called Christ to come into your life, he's going to restructure some areas of your life. He's going to start changing areas of your life. You might not be comfortable with it, but I want you to know something. You can trust your contractor because he's only going to make it better. It will never be worse. It will not be something you will ever go back and say, I wish I had done it different, because the master contractor gonna get in and make it the best. That doesn't always mean it's comfortable. I mean, if you've been alive for any period of time as a man, you know you've come in contact with what we call lath and plaster. That was created by demons from hell. I know it. And I'm from Boston, and everything is lath and plaster up in Boston. And when you start ripping apart lath and plaster, some of you are saying, what is that? It's horse hair mixed with like clayish stuff with little slats. And when you start moving that, it goes poosh. It's horrid. But when you start tearing that apart, it's messy. But when you start rebuilding it, you never have to wonder if it's insulated. Or if the wire is going to catch on fire because you just rewired it. You don't ever have to wonder if someone's going to get in that room and they're going to say, this is a dump. Nope. Why? Because if you do things right as a contractor, people are going to say, come on now, I've got to hire that one too. You need to hire Jesus in your life. Some of you just good enough to, come on now, not want to go to hell. I don't blame you. But if that's all it is, baby, you better pray you go quick. Because the Bible says rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And if you don't got yourself a good foundation, you're going to come off the foundation. Or your roof is going to get ripped off. Or you're going to start getting cracks in your wall because it wasn't done properly. You know something? You might even get somebody smart enough to leave half a drain pipe out. Free flow. Who is your contractor? If Jesus wants to get into your life, you're going to let him? I'm talking. You don't want Jesus as your contract? Wow, you see how bald that is? Wow, Jesus. Here, Club for Men. Are you afraid to let Jesus in? You know, if you're afraid to let Jesus actually come in and start tearing things out, it means you don't trust him. What is trust? It's a synonymous word with faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more you're in the word, the more you're in the house of God, the more that you're growing in Christ, the more you'll trust the contractor, because you know that Jesus don't make junk. But will you trust him when he gets to those spots like lath and plaster, where it's going to make a mess for a little bit? Well, all of a sudden, you're going to say to yourself, hey, I was good for a day. But man, there's dust everywhere. And here you've got to make a decision that you will trust him to get in, not only fix up that room, baby, not only restructure, renew that room, but then he's going to clean up, come on now, all the dust. And he's going to make you clean again. I don't always like it. Anybody with me? I don't always like the cleanup. I don't always like the lath and plaster. But I learned a long time ago, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't like it, I can trust the master builder. And today, my question, if you're built different, who's your contractor? Because if it's you, it's really different. You got a lot of corners that aren't straight. Say amen. You've been building with your own emotions. You messed up, man. You've been building with your addictions. You messed up. You've been building with your own philosophies. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, that's nice, but if Jesus is the truth, you're screwed. Because if he is the truth, you're going to stand before the truth. Who's your builder? I don't know about you. My name is Michael Spencer. M-I-C-H-E-A-L James. J-A-M-E-S Spencer. S-P-E-N-C-E-R. When I stand before God, I'm not going to stand there as the most holy Reverend Dr. Father Spencer. He's not going to say, you did really good with two doctorates. I'm not going to say that at all. He's going to say, son, why didn't you let me be the master builder? I could have made you so much better than you ever were. I could have made you a mansion and a skyscraper, not a tiny house. See, the problem with being a skyscraper and a tiny house, not as many people can get in. And the only thing you can bring to heaven is somebody else. Everything else stays right here. You have a choice. Bible goes on and ends with this. Unless the Lord builds the house, the labor, work. So if you're building it yourself, you're working for nothing. It's not going to last. Unless the Lord builds out, which means he's going to do the labor. You just got to withstand the time. Unless the Lord builds a house, the labor's in vain. What does vain mean? It means of no consequence, of no longevity, of no long purpose. How many of you know that we're here for a very short period of time? Anybody here over 50? How quick did it go? How many here over 60? How quick did it go? How many here over 70? Joel, you're over 60? No, you were just scratching your head. How many here over 70? How quick did it go? Yeah, it's a snap. Anybody here over 80? First service there was Dave. Oh, 80, thank the Lord. How fast did it go? Remember when you were 27? am. One day I ripped our bathroom apart in Big Flats. I told my wife, I'm going to make you a new bathroom. Going to put in a shower. I got this thing. I tore the whole bathroom apart in like a day and a half. 9 months later, she looked at me and she said, and I said, she says, it can't stay this way. And I went, she said, call your father. I will pay him to fix our bathroom. I called my dad. I said, I'm going to fly you up. He goes, okay. He said, actually, I'll drive because then I can bring my own tools because I know you don't have any. It might have been part of the master plan, but we won't go there. He gets up, takes him about 2 weeks. She has a beautifully tiled bathroom shower. The bathroom floor has all been retiled. New sink, new toilet, new doors. Here's the problem. If she was relying upon me to finish, we would never have sold the house because the bathroom wouldn't have been done. How many of you are procrastinating allowing Jesus to be the contractor in your life? What happens when you do that? 9 months later, you're the same person. A year later, you're the same person. Listen, I know folks. Somebody said to me, can't teach an old dog new trick. You're stupid. You are stupid even for saying that out of your mouth. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Then that means you're the same. And if you're the same, we know that the master builder is not the contractor in your life. I'm not the same person I was. And I'm not the same person I'm going to be. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I trust the contractor. I don't always like him. Listen, now there are times I don't understand. But the fact is, I trust him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. That's either a nice cliche or it's real. That's real in my life. So my question is for you, because I already made my choice. Unless the Lord builds out. No. You are building my house. Tear out anything you want. Ooh, that's dangerous, isn't it? Come on now. My daddy built that. I don't know. Do I want more examples? Sure. I'm not going anywhere. My dad, being a master craftsman, especially with cabinets. My daughter has in her house, and I thank God they just moved into their new house this week. But when I walked into the dining room, I saw a table in the middle of the dining room. It's the table my dad built over 45 years ago. It was in the 70s. That dad built that, right, Ma? In the 70s. It still works. The chairs are gone, but the table's there because he's a master craftsman. You want longevity? You can't build your own house. You got to let the master builder take it. And you can trust him. He'll make you a mansion. He'll make you a skyscraper. And I'll give you an understanding later on. But people are always drawn to something that is great and grand, not a tiny house where they have to struggle to sit in a chair and move. You'll either be a drawer or a repeller according to the house that you build. Who's your master builder? Who have you hired on as the contractor in your life? And will you trust him enough to tear out what he needs to tear out and put in what he needs to put in? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I always have an action at the end of a message. Why? Because the Bible says, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer. So today, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, it means you don't even have a foundation. You don't even have a foundation. If you don't have a foundation, what's going to happen, even if you build an incredible looking house on the outside? When the blizzard comes, when the hurricane comes, when the floods come, guess what's going to happen to that house? Your foundation's going to wash away. When that flood hit our house, we had a patio that was fieldstone, and the base of it was sand. And when that flood was done, you know what I had? A pile of rocks. Washed it all the sand away. There was no foundation. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not here to peddle a church. I'm here to introduce you to the master builder, Jesus Christ. If you want him to wash your sins away, you're not right with God, you want to get right with Jesus today, this is your moment. Don't you dare, man, you're crazy to walk out of this place having the opportunity to have the master builder come into your life and walking away. Today, if you need Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, you want to surrender and allow him to be the master builder? I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning, right where you are in your seat. Thank you, sir. I saw your hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. I see that too. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? 5? 3? What happened to 4? Well, because this might be your 4, and you missed it. 2! Come on, get your hand up if you want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior. Thank you, sir. Put it right back down. Thank you in the back. Get ready. Here's the last call. Ooh, man, you better shoot your hand up on 1. Ready? 1! Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand to our feet. This young lady right here. These young ladies want to... Come on up here closer, honey. No, you're trying to get extra help? Come on up here. Come on up here, both of these. They're both single. And they're both very beautiful, and they love Jesus. Remember, you never go into a relationship with somebody who doesn't love Jesus more than you. If you're already in it, work it through. But if you raise your hand for salvation, don't you walk out of the room. The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before God. But if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before God. So right over here, they're going to be standing. Are you guys trying to run? I saw you trying to get out of here. They're going to stand right over there. And when I dismiss service, I want you to come right over to them. We're going to pray with you. We're going to get your Bible. It's not just, come on now, not just how you start, but how you finish. And we're going to make you a finisher, not just a starter. Amen? Lord, I speak blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, that you are the master builder of this house. That, God, we are not designing this. You are designing this. That, Father, you have created his tabernacle. We didn't create his tabernacle. And you have a divine purpose for it, Lord, individually and corporately. We declare that it will be finished and it will be great. And you will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Whoa, I felt the anointing right there. In Jesus' name. Lord, I speak right now, blessing upon your people for the glory of God. Lord, I come against sickness and disease. I bind it in Jesus' name. Command it to loose the people of God. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And everybody said, amen. Make sure if you raise your hand, get right out of your seat. Come on now, don't be ashamed. Get right out of your seat. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Have a great day in Jesus.
What is the Lamb?
Ah!
What is the Lamb?
Seek you out.